First reading is from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 8, and it's going to be read out of this beautiful leather-bound Message Bible, which was a gift to the church from Dr. Fred and Tinka as of today. It's very nice. Psalm 145, verse 1. I lift you high in praise, my God, O my King, and I'll bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger, and is rich in love.
Our second scripture reading from the Gospel according to John chapter 3, the first 8 verses. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. And late one night he visited Jesus and said, Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in it. Jesus said, you're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it is not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, you're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that. A body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch. The spirit. And becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that each and every one of us become aware of God's presence in our midst during this worship service this morning. I think this John 3 is one of the most amazing biblical passages that I've ever read, and there are many. Can you imagine this scene? It was midnight. A respected, well-educated rabbi of old slipped through the shadows for a secret midnight discussion with Jesus. But this time, this teacher of Scripture was not out to teach, but rather to be taught. He was wrestling with his faith and therefore with his belief in God. Well, even then he had all the knowledge about God and religion that he could possibly gather. But yet, it will soon become clear that all this religion was all in his head, but it never reached his heart. And fact is, he knew it. He knew that he was talking the talk, but he was not walking the walk. So you see, even 2,000 years ago, there were people like you and me. People who truly, sincerely, from the bottom of their hearts, desire to be a part of God's kingdom. Not only by believing, not only by reciting passage after passage, but by experiencing an authentic relationship with God. So Nicodemus, like many of us, wrestled with the same questions. Now that night, that biblical event, Jesus explained and gave an answer that would literally live and be true forever. It would become a cornerstone of what we as Christians believe. And Jesus said, unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. And then Jesus made it a little clearer. He said, for instance, when you look at a baby, it's just that. It's a little body that you can look at and you can touch it. But the actual person who takes shape within is still being formed. It's formed by something you can't see, you can't touch. It's spirit and becomes a living spirit. Now, I need to be honest with you that there were times in my life when I was very uncomfortable with this specific passage. Because this biblical truth is often so misunderstood, so distorted, and often proclaimed in so many confusing terms that it's very hard to believe and very hard to make sense of it. Let me explain. And I thought this sort of made it clear for me what I'm trying to say. Once there was a small jazz club in New Orleans, and there in the one corner sat an old piano. And that piano was in a deplorable condition. So all of the visiting jazz artists complained about this antiquated instrument. And even visiting piano players didn't like, they actually dreaded playing on it. And when vocalists came in as part of a concert, they dreaded singing with it. So what happened? They complained, you know, to the owner, said, hey man, this piano of yours, you need to do something about it. There's something badly wrong. You're spoiling our tune. And so finally he gave in. And he decided, okay, just to stop all this, I'm going to do something about it. And he did. You know what he did? He had the old piano painted. Brother, sister, many people are exactly like that club owner. They realize that their lives are in a sad, broken, and unhappy condition without spiritual power and faith. So they attempt a superficial, shallow makeover on the surface. And what happens? Well, sadly, we know what happens. Nothing really changes. And this is very important. This is something to understand. Being a Christian, having faith in God, following Jesus, is not and should never be like a fresh coat of exterior paint for a deeply unhappy existence and deteriorating quality of life. Now, when people say to me, "You must be born again," I can't help it. I always think, uh-oh, here it comes. Many people react negatively when they hear those words. Why? Well, one reason is that many have associated the term with a fundamentalist religious right, using this specific term to shove their brand of religion and own interpretations and ideas down the throats of people. Oh, there are many, many a crime, a human crime committed in the name of God, our God. Having said that, let us not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are different, much deeper, powerful, and life-changing truths in this very story of Nicodemus. If you truly seek the kingdom of God, something has to change. If you truly seek the kingdom of God, something has to happen deep inside you as a person. For instance, Nicodemus knew all about the laws in the Hebrew Testament. And I'm pretty sure that he wasn't a kind of a secret sinner of that kind. He most certainly lived his life within the letter of that law. Nicodemus was a good man. He was a solid citizen that any community would be proud to call its own. His life was all about religious rules and regulations. But the actual truth is, sadly, God never really, truly, genuinely became real in the life of Nicodemus. The faith he knew was taught from books and criticizing others. And church history reveals that there are many who have filled important positions within churches through the centuries, who sadly never understood this basic Christian message. For many years I loved Christian history, and I think I could sort of call myself a constant student of Christian history. And I can assure you there are periods in the life of Christianity that I'm not willing to discuss. Let's just pass it by. There were bad times through the Middle Ages, and many of things that happened in those days are to be read in books. It's easy to say I'm a Christian. It's a bit tougher to be one. People who never allow the message of Jesus Christ to actually penetrate their lives end up with nothing but an outer coat of paint. You know, it's a bit heartbreaking when church people so close to living water never get around to actually drink it. Have you ever felt like that? Ever felt that this organized religion business does not satisfy? You get that Many people hop from church to church and congregation to congregation, hoping they will find something different, something new. And people that I know have already told me, oh, since I've discovered that television program on Sunday mornings, you're not going to see me in church again. I wept inside. Does people understand what happens if you plant a little tree alone in a desert? No one to really communicate about your faith, nobody to talk with. Lonely, listening to a projection from an enlightened screen. Many people are fleeing from organized religion. I can only be honest to tell you, this is something that keeps a lot of us in this church busy. Because not a day goes by that we're not planning, thinking, dreaming, praying for our church and its future. We are not blind, we know what's happening. We know that Christianity is going through the deepest dip in its history, in its long history right now. That many people have left in droves across the world. It's not an American thing. It's across the world. And all the indications are that they're not coming back. What do we do? And I cannot give you any answer this morning. I can just tell you, as God's people in this place, that not a week goes by in Cocoa Beach Community Church that people are not working, thinking, praying, talking about the direction we should head into an unknown future. If you ask me if I know the answer and they must just listen to me, no, I don't. We've been in the pulpit roughly half a century now. Three continents. I've seen it all, I've heard it all. And the future for Christianity currently is bleaker than ever it was before. And I do believe that John 3 holds a secret for the future of Christianity. No matter in what format we worship, but mattering who we worship, how we worship, and whom we experience. Not a set of laws, but a presence deep, deep inside our lives. Let me tell you that true faith is not something that you and I can borrow from anyone else. You cannot think, well, I'm going to church with my husband, so that's enough. He's a believer and I don't want to disappoint him. I've heard that as well. For faith to be genuine, it has to have its foundation in my life and in your life. There are so many second-hand Christians in our times. They have inherited their Christian faith from their families. It was a Christian family. They have borrowed it from many of their friends. They have married it. They have taken it over like the cut of their clothes from the fashion of their group. Faith is not something we can borrow from another person. For faith to be genuine, it must always, always be our own and come from the depths of our soul. Came across a story that I understood so well, because through the years as ministers we all land in situations with student groups and so on, with long endless arguments about many topics. And this certain Christian minister, he lived in Denver, had a very good friend who was an excellent person, naturalist. Only one thing, he simply didn't believe in God, period. And both of them were learned and mature people. And this pastor's friend would say, I can only believe what I can actually see. See with my eyes and touch with my hands. I'm not like you Christians. I need proof. And then he confessed to this pastor in Denver. That's what kept him agnostic. Because he couldn't see God. And this went on and on, and finally they reached a sort of a philosophical impasse. Okay, you don't talk about it, I won't talk about it, let's just be friends. Now, this friend of his was a 50-year-old science teacher at that time. Naturalist. He was very set in his ways. He wasn't going to change. So not knowing how to respond, the pastor at one time looked through the window thinking, what shall I say? And he noticed that it was a stormy day outside. The wind was raging outside. And suddenly the thought came to him. And he turned to his friend and he asked his friend and say, tell me, what do you see outside? The friend looked out and he said, well, the wind. Whoa, what a wind. Do you really? The pastor asked. Or do you only see the effects of the wind? What's happening to the things that the wind is blowing through? And a full 2 minutes of silence passed. And then his friend spoke with the light of discovery in his eyes. You know what? This very much makes God a possibility for me as well. A life born from above is a life changed. It's as invisible as the wind, but it is so very obvious in its impact. We cannot see the wind, but can see and sense the effects of the wind. Brother, sister, this is the best description of being born again that I ever heard. When you're moved by the wind of God, part of your being and the effects can be seen in the way you act, the way you live, the way you do. Many of us love the 5-star movie Dances with Wolves, and some of you will remember this particular scene. I just want to bring it back in your memory. It's a scene when there's a senseless slaughter of a large herd of buffalo. Was hunters coming from outside into that area. And the character played by Kevin Costner finally stares in disgust over the piles of dead meat that they left to rot on the prairie. See, the so-called hunters took only the skins to sell for profit, and they left a sad and a stinking scene behind. And this experience brings so much resentment in his heart that he finally rejects his old self. And he also rejected the culture that that hunter represented. And he decided inside on a change in favor of the insights, the lifestyle and the culture of the tribe's people whom he befriended. Now you'll remember there's a moving scene where he actually trades his soldier's uniform for the noble clothing of the tribe. The tribe who took care of him, cared for him after he was wounded. And in that process, he adopted their habits, their style of living, their way of living, their culture. Jesus lived, demonstrated and taught the principles that governs God's kingdom. Stop painting the old piano. Begin a search and discover God's actual presence in your life. And if you don't sense God's presence, you've got work to do. When you and I stop, listen and follow, powerful inner change will take place deep within us. In a profound spiritual way, we learn how to literally discard the old uniform, discard the culture of selfishness, and how to reach for new spiritual clothing, which is a radical change in our thinking and in our doing. Stop painting the piano. Go inside. Rebirth is a process of inner change in the company of Jesus of Nazareth. Believe, reach out, accept the truth, and if necessary, begin over again, even this very morning. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen.